The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, the 23rd of July here at Free Fire Radio on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. 7:05 in the morning, news top of the hour, always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Ben's here. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
We'll talk about the West Nile virus.
What?
And since they're discovering it where you live.
What?
Well, not really where I live, but where I hang out. I go to the river.
What?
I know. I want to know about that.
The first West Nile virus detection. We'll talk about that in a minute. Any national days today?
There's one that I think you'll love.
What?
National Vanilla Ice Cream Day.
Whoa! Oh, that's it. Whoa!
That's it. You know what? People laugh when you say, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? And I say, vanilla. But we were at a place, and everybody was naming their favorite ice creams, and I said vanilla. And around the table, they went, well, I really like vanilla, too. Remember that?
Yeah, but there's vanilla bean, and there's vanilla. So when I go to the store, and I'm like, what
does
he want?
If it's vanilla.
But vanilla bean is like a richer, deeper kind of, which one?
Vanilla bean's fine, too, as long as it's vanilla.
Okay.
But you would bring home things like
Chunky Monkey.
Umpty Dumpty.
Yeah.
Umpty Dumpty.
I like to try
stuff. Chocolate chip.
Yeah. I like to try stuff. But, if we go to...
You can buy the small ones. You can try it all you want.
Yeah.
I want vanilla.
Okay.
That's not hard.
Nope. You're right.
Okay.
So when we go to, in fact, there's so many really good ice creameries in our town.
That's true.
In Reading. And so especially the ones that are, not going to, used to call it thrifty ice cream when you go get the scoop at the store and the cone. And it'd be like 20 cents and you'd be like, woo. And who does thrifty? Boy, does that set me back. I just kind of seem to go back to maple pecan when it's done crafty. Or there's a name for it. Taste and See does a beautiful one. And I don't know if Taste and See is the one that's done in the market center. Yeah, that's in the...
Well, they've got that... I think it's CV. Has a ice cream
right
in there. I'm easy.
Vanilla. I haven't been there. I haven't done a scoop out of one of those places in so long.
I went to Dairy Queen and had one of those, out of their dog machine there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. It just, I remember having them when I was a kid. I don't know. It just didn't have the same flavor as it did back then. But of course, well, who knows why. Maybe it was just me that day.
I think everything changes because, we're going to go back into ho-hos and ding-dongs. In the day when the ding-dongs were wrapped in foil, and my brother and I, that would be our big treat. We get one of those, or Eskimo pie.
What was that you brought in last night?
Oh, Klondike.
I don't remember ever having a Klondike.
I went to Grocery Outlet. And they have some interesting desserts in there in the freezer section.
Yeah. Anyway.
We got a really good one over here in Eureka.
Because, you know what the problem is? We have way too many choices in our life. No, seriously, I'm going to talk about that. I found an article about making your life better by limiting your choices.
You know, I thought about that.
But what's the weather look like?
Oh, okay. First of all, let me talk about that for a second. I thought about that because I was watching, I made reels on, the FIFA and how they came over, all of the players came over here to America. And the young kid, I can't think of his name right now, is Spain, that became the sensational star of the entire FIFA. 18 years old, and it showed that they could be anonymous and go into like a Walmart with a shopping cart, and there's a picture of him standing in the cereal aisle and just spacing out, because you don't just have one box of Wheaties.
No.
You have 25 versions of box of Wheaties, and I was thinking about that, like, because we've been to Europe and we've been to their stores over there, and they're, and it's almost like the little corner markets in San Francisco. They have just small amounts of things that would be just for the village or just for, you know, for that kind of thing. And that's what about those corner markets that used to, that you would see in San Francisco were just for the block. Not for the masses. And so when they came over here, they saw so much that in these stores like Costco,
well,
it's
did.
For the
all
masses.
The, all the visitors that came here were just awed by Costco, Walmart, Sam's Club. Well, they didn't go to Sam's Club. But all these big things going into Bass Pro Shop, Shields. I mean, it was to them, it was just unbelievable. They loved it. You know, they said, I've gone into a store with a waterfall.
Yeah, and fish, and a whole lake, you know, and a water, yeah, all that stuff. Okay, today, if you'd ask about the weather, we have sunny and hot today, but we are under triple digits today with 98 clear skies tonight with overnight lows of 66. Tomorrow's calling for about 100 Friday. With overnight lows tomorrow night around 65. So actually, it's a higher temperature with a lower degree at night. So beautiful night to go to the cold 45s. Saturday, in fact, we may go tomorrow night. we need to support our team at their at the last stretch. Saturday calls for 98 and Sunday 99 and Monday 99. Now that's interesting because when I read the weather, yesterday or the day before, it was all triple digit through the week. So we've gone down, yes, we did yesterday, because I remember, wait, because at the beginning of the week it was around this, and then, so that's what's interesting is that as they look through the day or through the week, how temperatures change a little bit. So we, the only triple digit a day, according to our national forecast, weather service, is going to be tomorrow. Other than that, we don't have those high winds that we had yesterday. We've got calm winds, like maybe 5 to 7 miles per hour, but nothing with the gusts that we had yesterday. The weather's brought to you by our friends out at Anderson, Shasta Gas Propane. It is a veteran-owned business. We love the Kenny family. Chuck Kenny, veteran, three generations strong, stays within the family. A wonderful group of people there doing wonderful things for our community. Walk on in, figure out. They give seniors and veterans discount. They'll go the extra mile for those hard-to-reach places. That's Shasta Gas Propane in Anderson, 365-3793. What's on the agenda?
Brooks Fire is at 502 acres and 95% contained. Thanks to an aggressive response from ground crews, bulldozers, and aircraft, they were able to stop the fire's forward speed and spent the last several days extinguishing hot spots and strengthening the containment lines. And we have our first confirmed West Nile virus detection in Shasta County for the 2026 mosquito season. After two mosquito samples collected during routine trapping in southeast Anderson tested positive. They're increasing now. The district crews are increasing surveillance for immature mosquitoes to identify breeding sites and reduce mosquito populations before they mature. They plan to conduct ultra-low-volume mosquito control treatments in areas where mosquito activity and risk of virus transmission remain high. So some of you out there may go, What's that sound? Well, they're killing mosquitoes, and maybe you should have your hearing checked.
I remember
okay,
when...
Okay, let me see. Mm. Okay, they have...
we don't even know what's in that... You know what really bothers me is...
They put centennial chickens out because they will die from West Nile virus.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, here's the deal.
I didn't know that.
No, we do not know what is in the West Nile virus when they have the truck going down the middle of the street spraying. And no, I'm not talking about cleaning the asphalt. I'll never forget. I had a little puppy.
They don't do that here, do they?
Yes, they do. When I first moved in downtown.
I bet they don't do it now.
I haven't seen them, but I can tell you then, and I'm walking it was early in the morning before I went to work, walking. It was, you know, dark outside, walking my new puppy, and here's this truck driving down the middle of the street spraying. And I thought, what am I breathing? What's in that stuff? What if you had a baby in a stroller? I mean, it's like, maybe that's why people are sick. What's in it?
You would not have liked Key Largo, Florida, when they would go through the neighborhoods with these fogging machines to kill mosquitoes, because they had such a mosquito problem there. I was staying with some friends. And what they would do is go out there with a beer and hand it to the driver. So the driver would sit there and they'd chit-chat while that thing is just fogging the neighborhood because mosquitoes are so bad. Yeah, who knows what happened after that, you know. Children being born with, you know, two heads or...
No, I just... You know, we're talking about...
I don't know. This was a while ago, but I don't think that they're spraying anything that could harm people.
Oh, we don't know that. You know, studies 30, 40, 50 years from now are going to say that there's a something... It's almost like Agent Orange, you know. Did they know it when they were doing it? When they were... You know what I'm talking about. I mean, that's an extreme... But I just kind of feel like we should have
too much.
No, we should have a choice.
Well, we're going to talk about choices. Funny you should say that. We're going to talk about choices
Segway.
When we get back from this break. Can you make too many choices? We'll be right back.
Coming soon, get ready for a fresh new publication created especially for women who love the Western and country lifestyle. Jade West Magazine, launching August 1st with our very first edition. Jade West Magazine will bring inspiring stories, beautiful photography, and fresh content to readers every 2 months. Whether you're a lifelong country girl or simply inspired by the beauty and values of rural living, Jade West celebrates women, traditions, and communities that make the West so special. Discover Western fashion trends, delicious homestyle recipes, country decor inspiration, travel destinations, and ideas for celebrating life's special moments. Meet influential women, rodeo queens, artists, musicians, authors, and local businesses that are shaping today's Western culture. Jade West Magazine celebrates strength, grace, and the spirit of women across the West. Pre-order your print or digital copy today at jadewestmag.com and be among the first to experience our premier issue on August 1st. Jade West Magazine, for the wild woman.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Everybody calls us a liar.
Could someone you know use a little extra comfort right now? Alliance Heating and Air is proud to team up with Lennox to bring Feel the Love to our community, a special program providing free heating and cooling systems to homeowners in need. A simple nomination can make a big difference. Nominate today at homecomfort.org or call 2212-642 Alliance Heating and Air, because everybody calls us 2212-642.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
That's like clockwork.
All three of us are in unison here when we're doing that.
Oh, do you do that over there, Ben?
Yeah, Ben does it too.
Oh, because I have my face towards you, and so I can't really see Ben with the reflection.
Yeah, Ben's.
Ben, I saw, I heard Michael Jackson I don't know, I was watching different, you know, the sports and doing things, and he sang Ben, you know, and I was thinking about that, you know, every time I talk to you about Ben. You did listen to it, right, Michael Jackson's version, and... We talked about the movie.
Yep.
All right.
You know, jeans that are perfect fit the ideal show that you select at night to watch. Today's society in America gives you so many choices, but does it make you happier? And behavioral scientists are now saying that the increasing flood of choices, whether it comes to shopping, social lives, or relationships, is doing the opposite. The idea that more choice is better is, we have, you know, that's baked into us at this point. Research shows that having more options can make people anxious, indecisive, and paradoxically less happy when they pick. There have been hundreds of studies showing that there can be too much of a good thing. Let me see, Barry Schwartz, psychology professor at Swarthmore College and author of Paradox of Choices, says, to minimize the mental noise, limit the number of choices you make, and your brain will thank you for it. Now, when you have more options, sometimes you don't pick any. Or then, after you pick them, they have this study that showed shoppers at a gourmet grocery store bought more jars of an artisanal jam when they were presented with six flavors rather than the wider array of 24. Students were more likely to do an extra credit assignment when they were given six topics to choose instead of 30. And the thing is, instead of being liberated by choice, you're paralyzed. People also often end up making worse decisions since more options suggest more potentially bad outcomes. And once somebody finally decides from all the possibilities, they may be less satisfied with even a good choice because they fear they had a better alternative. Like that grocery store you're talking about.
Right.
100 different types of cereal.
Well, let's
so you pick one and you're eating and you go, you know, I should have picked this one.
Let's segue into the military aspect, and I think you would be, after 33 years. I've met someone recently who is was in the Marine Corps, and a woman of a younger age. And, you know, it's been really hard for her to adapt to civilian life. Well, it really has been hard for her to find a choice. She's going in and out of different options.
You didn't have to worry about the clothes you wore. You wore the same clothes every day. You went to the same unit every day. I mean, while you were assigned to it. You had the same mission every day. Okay, now there were variables during the day that you had to make choices. But, you know, and you got up in the morning, you shaved, and you got dressed, and you went to work. In the same uniform. So you minimize choices. Now, your brain is there, according to a psychology professor. The brain is designed to save people from having to think. Hmm. It requires more energy. Problem solving requires more energy than relying on memory, a fact that has roots in evolutionary survival mode. When faced with a goal, whether it be an immediate need like responding to a threat or something longer term like finding shelter, the mind first searches for what's worked before. The problem solving part of the brain only kicks in afterwards. That's why a lot of people drive the same way to work every morning.
Right. A routine.
They have their routines because they don't have to think about
it. It's healthy. It's healthy to have a routine.
We're on autopilot, which is not bad. Throughout the day, however, you're confronted with hundreds of situations where they could do something different, but they almost always make the same decision. Anyway, the proliferation of choices also become tangled with identity in the social media age, where everyone can easily compare their choices to others. When all you got to choose from was Wranglers or Levi's, nobody expected the jeans that they bought to fit perfectly.
Three channels.
Now there's 2,000 options. Well, now, damn it. You want those things, those Levi, or you want your jeans to fit perfectly.
Well, you go to Costco.
And then when if they don't.
Yeah, when you go to Costco, that's the $300 rule. You went in for like a shampoo that you love there, and you come out probably with 20 items. You do get sensory overload. And that's what I'm talking about after you've been in the military like that, and you get sensory overload, and you and this is what's really good about a routine, because now when you go in and you go to, like, say, for instance, hypothetically, Starbucks, do you just go in for a coffee? Because if you're going in for a black coffee, you can do that at a AM/PM. In fact, I have friends that love the AM/PM coffee over anything. They come in out of
a psychologist by the name of Herbert Simon. A psychologist in 1978, Nobel laureate in economics, had three sets of clothes and ate nearly the same thing every day.
All right.
He called it satisficing. A combination of satisfying and sufficing. That means setting good enough criteria for decisions and moving on. So, hey, and then other things we do, like if you're going to get a new phone, look at your friend's phone. If you like your friend's phone, buy one like it. Don't have to think
all
about
right,
it.
So I had a
former. Rely on somebody else for financial planning.
Yes.
9 out of 10 of you really don't know what we're talking about, so you rely on people for your financial planning. Susan Eastman.
Well, yes. Okay. So Americans are retiring sooner than expected, speaking of, and most retirees wish they had done a better job saving.
I was finished.
Yeah, I thought you were. And so what we're talking about is people retiring sooner. They're retiring around 57 years old. Okay, remember it used to be like you had to wait till 62 and then finally really 67, you know, so that you could get your ultimate in your benefits. Earlier studies have consistently found that American workers retire before they had planned. So, most workers don't plan to retire that early. According to the latest survey, the average worker expects to retire at 65. But, workers often map out retirement plans around 2 or 3 milestone ages. One is 65 when Medicare becomes available. Another is 62 and the third is 67. But the fact is that they're saying in this study, that people think that they're planning and they plan, but they don't realize that once they don't have that steady income, things aren't really what they thought it was going to be.
No.
And they regret retiring. So like we've talked about with you.
I
mean, you know, we're definitely not the age that we are, you know, like the chronological or whatever you say, when you put the age down, you call like when you're standing in line and go, what's your date of birth? And you say your date of birth. And I'm like, damn, that is old. That's a little ancient. The people behind you are saying 72. I'm like, what? You know, it's just they were born in 72, and I'm just feeling.
So
okay.
What you're saying is people are working longer now.
Working longer, and also that when you don't feel like when we grew up, our grandparents were old. Now, my parents aren't old. My dad's 95. My mom's 93. They're not old.
They're old. No, they're old.
Yeah, but they're.
But they don't. The age they act is not their chronological
right,
age of 95,
right.
93.
Right. But so, but.
They're like in their 80s.
Yeah. They're like in their 80s. But more and more people like our age don't. It's that when you put down the age, it's not like that. So if we think about in the. Like 15, 20 years ago with the 62 and the 52 and thinking I'm going to retire and I'm going to travel. And then you don't, then you get, after you've traveled, you come back and you think, okay, I'm tying two thoughts together. Routine. How many people say that after, when somebody retires, after they've been a heavy hitter and they retire, they die.
Well,
they shrivel
so,
up
they've
and they just
identified so much with their job, and now they don't have.
It's healthy
that.
To work. It's
I think
healthy
it is.
To work.
I think it is.
It's healthy to keep going on with some mission, and I'm talking, is your mission, okay, after you get your garden be, just the right could, way, yeah, and you've traveled to Europe once, then what?
Well, then you've got volunteering. You can do part-time. You can, but there's a lot of things to do out there to keep yourself active.
Yes.
We have a friend whose husband just died, and her daughter got her into volunteering at the library, at the pet shelter and all that to get her out and keep her moving because she had nothing else. She had revolved her whole life around her husband.
And hopefully, she will be self-motivated because yeah. It's exhausting for the other person to be, did you get up and do this today? Did you do this today? I mean, someone has to be self-motivated. And when you work and you have responsibilities to an employer,
well, or to an organization. Yes. That's what I'm saying. You may not be getting paid for it, but you can still be active and keep yourself active and interact with other people, which is really important.
And that's going to segue into our next guest.
And when we come back from the break, we have Scarlett Rose on, and she'll be with us right after this break.
Do you believe in voter ID? Supporting the legal defense for Measure B. Come join us for a great fundraising dinner and live auction Friday, July 24th at the Anderson VFW. If you believe the people, not bureaucrats, should control our elections, please consider supporting this event. Join us for a barbecue dinner with all the fixins Friday, July 24th, Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. Doors open at 4, and for tickets, see Jones's Fort or call 530-209-2435. Supporting the legal defense for Measure B.
At the friendliest store in town, you'll find Kentsmina Grocery specializes in great personal service and the freshest choices of quality meats, poultry, and seafood. Featuring California-grown Old Stage Angus Natural Prime Ranch to Table certified beef, fresh produce, a full line of beverages, including their large selection of beers and seltzers, and of course, Cappy's Deli for sandwiches, salads, pizza, party trays, and side dishes to complete any meal. All made fresh daily. Kent's Meats and Groceries in Cappy's Deli, 1 mile south of the Reading Airport on Airport Road. Open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week.
It's time to settle up and ride west. Wind River Resort and Casino is proud to bring Wyoming's own Ian Munsick to the Event Center stage. Friday, July 24th. Rising fast and bringing his signature sound. Ian brings the west to the rest. Tickets are just $60 plus fees. But they won't last long, so don't wait.
Must be 21 to attend.
Make it a country night to remember. Call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN to reserve your room and grab your ticket. Dust off those boots. Your adventure begins here at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Every drive tells a story. Morning commutes, weekend getaways, road trips that stretch for miles. That's why you need Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Quick and Clean Car Wash, you'll receive a detailed hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle soft cloth wash, and a personal towel dry brings out a smooth, polished shine. Fast, affordable, starting at only $12. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Well, Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Streaming live at kcnrradio.com. And if you've never gone to Quick and Clean, you ought to go do that. I mean, it's a great wash. You're in and out. They dry off your, they hand wash. And then you go through the tunnel there, and then at the other end, the towel dry it. It's cool. It's good. It works.
I'm going today.
And
this portion of the show is brought to you by Going Today or sometime soon. At Four Winds Jewelry, for all your jewelry needs, battery changes your, battery in your watches. I want to have my rings cleaned and have them looked at because, you know, I've been banging around the house and you always wonder, you hopefully that your stones don't fall out, because that's the worst feeling if you've ever looked down and, you know, all of a sudden you're out at the lake and then there's a stone missing. So that's because your prongs have gotten, doled up and cracked or whatever. And, you know, it's just really important. So, and also they'll do custom jobs and they'll do stone setting. And anyway, it's the best of the North State in 4 years. Our friends at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading.
There you go. Our guest today is Scarlett Rose, and she is, what are you? It's in the Merchant Marine Association, but you're like the West Coast representative or something?
For California, Region 8 Vice President of the American Merchant Marine Veterans Association.
Okay. And so what are we talking about today?
Well, kind of a follow-up. After having the luck of going on Memorial Day weekend to Arlington National Cemetery, I was there with our president and some of the other main board members. We realized that there were quite a few Merchant Marine buried in Arlington. Now, these are World War IIs. They were qualified to be buried there starting in 1988. There were other men, of course. Some men hopped from service to service. And so trying to track which ones actually served in the Merchant Marines only as that as their career, or some that did several careers in different military branches. And so far I've found about 166 of them. I'm very active on Find a Grave, and you can create virtual cemeteries, so I'm tracking those because people wanted to know, do we have any of AMV members buried there? And we do, because sometimes the obituary is listed. You know, sometimes just the tombstone says USMM on it.
Okay.
But with Arlington and then through Find a Grave, you can search for keywords. And so then I started searching for Merchant Marine in Shasta County. Now, of course, IGO hasn't been here very long in terms of cemeteries. But I did discover that 18 Merchant Marine are buried out there.
Okay. 18.
18 of them. So at some point, the next time I go out there, I'll see if I can track them down. Find a Grave has an app so you can see where they're located, and hopefully I can walk out. And if they haven't been GPS'd, you can tag the grave, and that'll give you the exact location. When I did a search through the rest of Shasta County, there are 13 other Merchant Marines. One I know is in the Anderson Cemetery. There are a number in several of the Reading cemeteries. One is out in Shingletown, and one is up in Burney.
Okay. How did you get involved? Tell us a little bit about who Scarlett Rose is and, you know, you're this love that you have, this passion that you have about finding the Merchant Marines and their graves.
Well, my father is a World War II Merchant Marine. He served through the time of the Korean War, and my uncle, his youngest brother, was also a World War II. He went in at 16. Came out, went back in, was recruited for Vietnam. And so we grew up with the family history of that, and my grandfather was a very good genealogist.
Okay.
So, you know, you track all of your family and who got into what and what went on.
Lucky for you.
Yeah. So after my dad passed in 2003 and my uncle in 2004, I started going through my dad's records. He had a big trunk out in our garage, and he saved port passes. All of his paperwork was in there. But I didn't understand what those meant. So when I started searching on the internet, I found somebody through the American Merchant Marine Veterans who encouraged me to join, because you don't have to be a veteran yourself to belong to this organization. You can be a relative.
Okay.
So I've been a member since 2018, And about 3 years ago, they voluntold me to be this
voluntold
Region 8 VP.
I like these mixed words today.
Well,
voluntold, yeah. I love that. So, okay, so what does this talk about historical milestone with the awarding of the USNS Kanawha?
That's part of the MSC, the Military Sealift Command. A lot of our major ships can't come into ports to be restocked. They're too large. And they're at sea a lot. So the ships go out to resupply
right.
them, provide their fuel, provide their food, any supplies they need, transfer people off and on unless it's an emergency where they bring in a helicopter or something. But the USNS ships are all usually custom ships, depending on what you need. And so they travel alongside these huge carriers and these big destroyers and these other ships, and they connect them and they transfer things back and forth. And it's pretty dangerous, depending on the sea conditions, where you're located. It might mm-hmm. be in the middle of an active military mm-hmm. conflict. And so they're starting to recognize that when you're asking someone to go into an area where you may be shot at, and, you know, we had this during World War II, the same thing with Korea and Vietnam, you know, people attack supply ships. That's a military strategy.
Right.
And these people are considered civilians. They don't get recognition for that. But they are starting to give them some awards in acknowledgement of their service.
I like that. They should be.
Yeah. That's one of the goals of the Merchant Marine Veterans Association. With the way we track stuff now, particularly everything is on
right.
computers and stuff, mm-hmm. you don't need pieces of paper. You know when a ship went in a war zone or spent time servicing a number of ships. You can track the days and hours. Everything usually for awards in the military, it's how long were you in the war zone? Were you active in a specific campaign? All that can be tracked now. And so we feel the Merchant Marine should be eligible to be recognized as veterans anytime they're involved in a war or military conflict.
They are for World War II.
Only World War II.
Right. And but not for Korea.
Vietnam, Gulf War, none mm-hmm. of those.
So how much traction are you getting in this?
Well, it's a matter of finding enough support. Most people I talk to, when I say the Merchant Marine, a lot of people already assume they qualify. They do get service medals, but they don't receive any other recognition unless it's an extreme award for something very spectacular, like the Hung Nam evacuation, where several ships evacuated thousands of refugees. But, you know, it's back to, did they spend the time? Did they serve?
The U.S. Naval or USNS, Kanawha.
Mm-hmm.
Received a presidential unit citation for their direct support of the USS Gerald R. Ford Carrier Strike Group. What was that for?
Well, that was their service during just this recent conflict. You know, we're fighting a war in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz and all that stuff that's going on.
So it was for that?
Yeah, but this is okay. a ship award. It's a unit award.
Right. No, that's the presidential unit citation. That's for everybody that was in the... like I said, the strike group, but also in their support ships.
Exactly.
So and they were part of that. Our pre-position ships, I don't know if that comes under something different or not. When we pre-positioned our ships and for desert, Marine Corps has been doing this since the late 80s. We pre-position a lot of equipment on ships, so then if we have to deploy, we meet the ships there.
Yes.
And that happened in Desert Shield, Desert yeah. Storm. Are they Merchant Marines, or is that kind of like
most
a different,
them, yeah, they
a
are.
Different
they're
type
a lot
of contract or something like that?
Well, it depends, because Merchant Marine are made up of several different
elements.
Because
they're all elements. Civilians on the ship.
They're all civilians. Merchant Marine ships, wherever they go in the different ports, they can have their voyages changed.
Mm-hmm.
If you know ships are in a certain area delivering supplies, the military can contact them and say, we're changing where you're going next. You're not getting this cargo. We need some other cargo taken there. They can be preempted.
Okay. So they're under the command.
They're highly flexible.
Okay. What else? What else do we have here?
That's our whole thing. We're trying to get people aware of how important the merchant marine are in support of the military and the risks they take in delivering the necessary supplies to maintain those campaigns and actions that are going on.
Action in the North Atlantic, a World War II movie with Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
And a variety of other apps. It was about the merchant marines. Mm-hmm. And also, I think there was a couple other movies, one with John Wayne, too, about delivering cargo. Mm-hmm. And then the latest one, Greyhound, from Apple TV starring, or Apple Movie starring Tom Hanks, mm-hmm. was a true story of the moving cargo and people from New York to England and going across the North Atlantic with submarines, with the German submarines there. And they lost something like six ships with number of people killed. And they were all merchant marine. They were going across there. It's a real good movie if you get a chance to see it. Not so much on the merchant marines, but it shows merchant marine, but it showed all of the ships out there and their convoys and what they had to go through.
Yeah, I did see Greyhound.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. But that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize, yes, you see merchant marine ships and they're moving cargoes. But like my dad's ship, the Cardinal O'Connell during the Korean War, it went to Korea, but it also went in and out of Yokohama a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yokohama was the base where a lot of wounded soldiers were taken. And if they passed away, they were returned on merchant marine ships.
Oh, okay.
I've been reading deck logs. Yeah. I requested these from San Bruno, which, for those that don't know, the archives in San Bruno are scheduled to be shut down. Through change.org, there is a petition to make sure that the archives remain in California.
Where would they go to?
They're going to be shipping all of the stuff they have, all the documents, the paperwork, and everything is going to be shipped somewhere to the Midwest. I don't know if they're sending it to Missouri or somewhere else.
Well, yeah.
You're talking cartons and cartons of documents, paperwork.
Tons.
All kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Whether it's immigration, the merchant marine records. And
they're consolidating into
consolidating it, but you're moving fragile items, photographs, original things that if they're damaged or destroyed in this movement, they're lost forever.
Okay.
They should all be digitized first. Before you move.
Well, you would think they would do that.
You would think.
Last thoughts?
So that's the process we're in right now, is encouraging the contact with veteran cemeteries, supporting merchant marine when they're buried so that someone is there, and encouraging people, reach out to your Congress people. It would take a bill through Congress to get veteran status for merchant mariners.
All right.
And the lines are pretty clear. When you're in a conflict, when you're involved, all that's trackable. Any staging that's done, all that should be counted toward veteran status for merchant mariners.
Okay. Scarlet Rose, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here.
And we'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Carrie Crancy, CEO of the Community Foundation of the North State, and we are so grateful for the partnership of the Redding Rancheria over 20 years and counting.
Hi, I'm Jenna Berry with Raising Shasta. We love partnering with the Rancheria. They've been a huge supporter of us for years in so many ways. You know, they help us with our fundraisers, and especially when we come to planting pinwheels.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at premieroilchange.com and receive your gift. In Redding, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisadro locations.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Golden Leaf Nursery is open and has been serving Shasta County growers since 1975 and going strong. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? We have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from. And right now, they're on sale and drought tolerant. It's a great time to buy. Goldleaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise shrubs and trees. Our summer sale is on now. 20% off all gallon and 15-gallon shrubs and trees. 25% off all 25-gallon trees. Need fast-growing trees 3 to 4 feet per year? Drought-tolerant? We have Polyanthemos Silver Dollar and Weeping Willows. Great for screening or fast shade. Don't miss the 20% off sale going on all summer long. Come check out Goldleaf Nursery on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road in Dersh, across from Club Tucker Golf Course.
Join us Friday, July 24th for Turtle Bay's 21-plus event, Museum After Hours, featuring the summer exhibition hit, Popnology, packed with tech from the past, present, and future. Museum After Hours includes live music, a food and cash bar by Mosaic Restaurant, and plenty of things to see and do throughout the museum without the kids. Celebrate with the Popstar's signature cocktail, only at Museum After Hours, Friday, July 24th. Buy tickets at the door or online at turtlebay.org.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
And what are some of the biggest challenges that you have had with sellers when it comes to determining the right price for their home?
Well, that's a good question. We get it a lot, actually. And I can tell you that every owner, including me when I'm selling something, we always want more than it's worth. And I think most people know that. So I think what it is really taking the time to sit down and thoughtfully go through the comparables that are similar to yours that have sold recently and do the very best you can to be realistic. If I was a buyer in today's market and I was viewing 3 or 4 homes that are similar, which one would stand out to have the most features and benefits for the price?
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Talk to the only agent in town I recommend. Go online to readinghomes.com. That's Reading, R-E-D-D-I-N-G, homes.com, or just Google Josh Barker.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl on the Bot. Streaming worldwide on KCNRradio.com. 7:52 in the morning here on the 23rd of July.
Good
64
morning.
64 degrees, going up to like 98 today. But no winds. The Brook Fire seems to be 95% controlled. And so that's good news. The, you know, we talk about AI here. In fact, next week we'll have another show on AI with Marty Mosley. We mentioned this the other day, but there's more information about it now. OpenAI revealed its AI models went rogue last week during security test and hacked into a startup.
Man.
This security breach is believed the first of its kind by an autonomous AI agent. OpenAI tested two of its models, GPT-5.6 Sol, and an unreleased model to see how well they could expose online vulnerabilities. The models were supposed to be confined to a sandbox, to a closed system where they cannot access the internet. However, in an effort to answer the prompt, the model skirted company safeguards and hacked into Hugging Face.
Hugging?
I have no idea what that is. An open source platform for AI technology. They gained access to the internal company systems. Hugging Face said last week it still investigates whether customer data was compromised.
What is Hugging Face?
It's just an AI, like ChatGTP. It's just something
AI uses. It's called Hugging Face. But here's the thing. This is AI, without being prompted, got around the firewalls and got into this system and hacked it. And now they say, well, did it take the data? I mean, what did it do? But it got into it.
Well, this
is
a fear.
And this was in a closed, as they call it, it's a closed system, a sandbox, where it's not supposed to even be attached to the internet, yet somehow. Now.
Have you seen the movie iRobot with Will Smith?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, refresh me here. I remember the robot that...
Well, the robot, it was the AI, and then that one robot kind of went rogue, but it was a good rogue. Sonny, the one robot.
And so it was a good rogue.
Yeah. But, I mean, but against the bad AI, because the AI was going crazy.
What were we watching the other night that was back in the 50s? The movie was made in the 50s. Oh, no. No, we watched 2010. You know, the sequel to 2001.
Right.
And you're looking at these things from back, and it was made in 84, something like that. And they were talking 84. AI. Yeah, they were talking AI, and they were talking all these things that were, you know, they were talking, it was like when you're talking to Hal, it's like talking to Siri, talking to the computer like that, and, you know, it comes back and gives you questions, you know, gives you answers, and he had to adjust it so he had the right voice.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It was, even back there, they were talking about it, but they figured it was, of course, 2001 when they made this, thinking that's where we were going to be. By then, of course, we weren't. But soon after that, I wonder how many ideas come out of movies. You know, I mean, you see something, you go, we could do that. I mean, of course, today's movies are really out there. I mean, do you want to have... You want to make vampires or things like that. The Living Dead.
Notice I'm not commenting on...
I know.
Yeah.
Well, they have taken care in Nicaragua. They have taken care of this pesky, idea of elections rigged and all of this. They have found the solution in Nicaragua from President Ortega. He has just declared there will be no more elections in Nicaragua. We don't have to worry about ballot stuffing, which we do, or attacking our main opponents, which we do, or making them non-citizens, which we do in Nicaragua. They just are going to abolish elections in the Central American country and make it a forever dictatorship for Daniel Ortega. They're going to change the Constitution. Said... It will ensure Nicaragua's peace, security, and stability. So, they just closed off any chance for the opposition to challenge the government. He leads with his wife, whom constitutional reforms elevated from vice president to co-president. See, they can change the constitution at will here. When you control everything, you can do that when you're a dictator. So, he doesn't have to worry about elections anymore. There will be no election brouhaha. There will be none of this campaigning and spending all these millions of dollars or pesos on campaigning. No. He is president for life now. Ortega. I don't know, he's got to be in his 60s. He's got to be at least in his 60s, maybe 70s. You know, he was there when the Sandinista Revolution in 79. Yeah, so he's got to be in his 70s, I would say. So, this is, it was a socialist country, then a communist, and now it's a dictatorship. So, I mean, be careful what you ask for out there when you're looking for socialism, when you're looking to have the government take over even more and more control of your individual rights. They have no individual rights in Nicaragua now. He can say anything he wants. No more Netflix. No more mani-pedis. No more. Oh.
Oh, wow.
None of that stuff.
Let's just face it,
a dictatorship, if you're the dictator, is a great life. If you're on the other end of it, though, it's not a good life. Everything's controlled. Does it mean you get enough food? Well, we don't really care because the dictator and his inner circle have plenty of food. Look at Cuba. Cuba is going through hell right now. And because of their communist policies, socialist communist policies. But do you think the head of the Cuban government doesn't get bananas or fresh fruit when he wants it? Of course he does. Does he drive around any place he wants to? Of course he does. So does the upper echelons. But the people, the masses whom they say this is for, no medical, no food, electricity is turned off all the time. Is this really what you want out there, my Socialist Democrats of America? And we'll be right back after these messages.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm John Scott. House Republicans adopt a $95 billion spending package for the Iran war and President Trump's other priorities. Bernie Bell returns.
Chief and Defense Minister, both of whom lost their jobs. The new Army Chief, Major General Mykhailo Dzhupataya, is part of a new generation of Ukrainian generals. Zelensky has tasked Dzhupataya with updating the defense strategy. Street protests in Kyiv demanded the return of the tech-savvy Defense Minister, Mykhailo Fedorov. Meanwhile, Ukrainian drones have struck warehouses in Russia, targeting facilities they say are being used for drone production. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
In consumer news, Ford may indeed have a better idea.
Texas resident Kenneth Kovar has a home energy setup from Ford in which drivers of certain popular F-150 models can plug their vehicle directly into their electric meter to power their home during an outage. It's the latest example of automakers broadly adapting their electrification technologies to the home energy business, especially as demand on the grid increases and sales of electric vehicles slow. Car companies are looking to leverage their multi-billion dollar EV investments to tap into a promising market in vehicle, home, and grid technology, both for backup power and for supporting electrical grid resiliency. Keith Peters reporting.
Tropical Storm Bertha turning toward Texas earlier today after making landfall over Louisiana on Wednesday, then heading offshore again. It continued to bring rain to a large swath on the northern Gulf Coast along its path. As Bertha traveled westward, the storm was expected to make another landfall along the northwestern Gulf Coast. Bertha has had maximum sustained winds of 45 miles per hour. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Christian Healthcare Ministries is not another health insurance policy. If you're tired of year-long contracts and pointless restrictions, CHM offers anytime enrollment on your schedule and at your convenience. With CHM, you're paying half the cost of a traditional health insurance plan. So that puts more money back into your budget for everyday needs. Plus, you'll have access to CHM's care solutions for virtual appointments, prescription savings, surgery support, and more. My family and I joined in 2018, and it's changed our lives for the better. We love paying way less while helping other believers afford their medical bills. Take the leap of faith and see why Christians across the nation are better with CHM.
Get started by calling 1-833-JOIN-CHM and use promo code WELLNESS for a 50% credit towards your first month. That's 1-833-JOIN-CHM and use promo code WELLNESS.
Canada is hoping to improve its trade relationship with Washington. Bob Agnew with a report.
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney says he and President Trump have agreed to intensify trade negotiations between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. That comes a day after President Trump announced the U.S. would be imposing 50% tariffs on most Canadian goods, citing unfair treatment of American products. The tariffs would exclude energy, but impact other top Canadian exports, including auto parts and precious metals. Bob Agnew reporting.
Google parent company Alphabet Incorporated posting stronger than expected results for its second quarter, a sign that its massive artificial intelligence spending spree is paying off so far. The Mountain View, California-based company said it earned $112.11 billion in the April-June period. That's up from $28.2 billion in the same period a year ago. News at townhall.com. There were powerful storms in West Virginia this week.
Governor Patrick Morrisey has dispatched hundreds of National Guard members to northern West Virginia while placing all of the state's 55 counties under a state of emergency. The governor says state and local agencies will remain on the ground for as long as it takes to help affected communities. Forecasters report up to 7 inches of rain fell in some spots. The National Weather Service in Charleston warned of life-threatening flooding Tuesday night, urging people to seek higher ground now. Rich Thomason reporting.
R. James Woolsey, a national security expert who led the CIA for 2 years after his appointment by President Bill Clinton has died. He was 84. And Charles Gaines, the author who helped bring bodybuilding into the mainstream with Pumping Iron, has died at 84. The documentary Pumping Iron, introducing Arnold Schwarzenegger to the world. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Streaming worldwide at KCNRradio.com. Good morning, the 23rd of July, 8:05 in the morning. News top of the hour, always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Ben's here with National
Vanilla Ice Cream Day.
Ooh. Yes. Much better than Monkey Dunkey.
Monkey Dunkey, whatever you want to call it.
Is.
There's
it
always
is.
A name. I'd love to be on
Monkey,
these.
Monkey Dunkey
these,
Poopy.
These name.
Monkey Dunkey with chocolate chips. Looks like something you'd see at the zoo in the monkey cage.
I love it, love it, love it, love it. Okay, let's get to the weather here at 8:06 in the morning on the 23rd here, our Thursday edition of Free Fire Radio here on KCNR. It's going to be around 98 will be our highs today. Overnight lows of 66 will be clear, well, have clear skies. Now tomorrow we get triple digit, but it's still going to be down around 65 degrees with our overnight lows tomorrow night. Great night to go to the Colt 45s. We're giving tickets away for this weekend as well. Saturday calls for 98, overnight lows of around 66, Sunday 99, and Monday 99. So we only have one triple-digit day, and that is Friday, tomorrow. The rest looks like we're looking at, you know, I mean, we'll take it. It's in July, and we have under
105.
That's right. And we don't have any big winds ahead of us, so no forecasts like we had yesterday.
The Brooks fire is under control. It's 95% contained, so that's another worry off our backs there.
And the weather's brought to you by our friends out in Anderson, Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts always. Give them a call for all of your propane and gas needs, 365-3793.
Good people. Hey, our guest today is Mike Littow, Mayor of Reading and member of City Council, of course. Good morning. Hey, and thank you very much for being flexible and coming on the show this morning after the tragic news from this weekend of City Manager William Tarbaugh passing.
Yeah.
And you were...
in shock.
I had lunch with him, you know, several times, been on the show. I really liked him, and I was just blown away. But you worked with him every day. And so.
Yeah, this is a complete shock to us. I don't think we could have ever prepared for something like this to ever happen.
He's 58.
I just remember getting the phone call and just thinking in disbelief of, you know, certainly was just hoping he was going to pull through. And it's still unbelievable today. It's been
Yeah, you say the words, but it feels like it's pinch me because it's not real.
No.
Yeah. He left a wife and 4 children.
Yeah, he left behind the kids, and I think that's the most tragic thing, thinking of not just the loss to the city of a great man and a great leader that we hired, that we had full faith and very excited to see the results and anxious to see what the results were going to be in 1 year. But, you know, when you put all that aside and you just think about the wife and the children and the family, I think that's what stings the most.
I think it does, too, because they had just moved here, I guess around February.
Like new beginnings.
Yeah. It was new beginnings, his children's school. And then to have this happen, I mean, they haven't even, they hadn't built the network that you have.
They were just getting settled
just
in.
Just
getting to know people and make friendships and get a layer of the land, you know, learning the trails and the grocery stores, the retail stores, the places to eat and drink. But you're still the newbie in a town and just trying to figure things out. And
Well, I know that we've reached out, and I'm sure you all have reached out, as other people have, anything we can do to help their family, of course. One of the things that William did was he brought in this team to take a look at all levels of the city government. That, of course, is continuing.
That is continuing. That was a three-month contract with the ability to do an extension if we like the results. We fully expected a report would have come back to council roughly around September or October, just talking about some of the results and our findings. You know, so that information was still being gathered, but we learned a lot during the efficiency study. We identified, you know, ways where we can consolidate positions. We identified where some departments just really needed some extra help, and maybe so where some other departments need to get a little bit more skinny. But in the end, the goal of the efficiency study was not just to become more efficient and, you know, be able to do our jobs better. It was really just to shore up the finances of the city, put us in a better cash position to where we could start really tackling the more difficult projects that go beyond just paying the bills every single day. When we think about our streets, our roads, our infrastructure, our parks, all the things that we're really trying to do to make the city more enjoyable to live in, you know, it's really difficult just to tackle that stuff, you know. And this is such a different climate for the council, because if you look back over the, you know, the 35 years I've been here, it just seems like the council has always had opportunity with some extra cash to be able to take care of some pet projects or be able to do some things that improve the city. But, you know, I haven't experienced that in my time in the council, really. We're just continuing to talk about
it. It's been rough the last, what, 5 years, would you say?
I think things were really building up to the time where I got in the council. There was certainly some warnings and some things that were going to be coming and dealing with the new budget cycle, but this was certainly more extreme that was advertised, and I think things certainly were a bit worse, you know, than I expected them to really
be.
Well,
the projected budget, you know, usually even a very conservative 2.5 hasn't been reached this year, though, has it?
The 2.5 in revenue growth or
so?
Right now we are tracking at par or maybe a little bit better, but keep that in mind of what the council did is we lowered our revenue forecast back in January, February in council sessions to we felt the revenue growth assumptions at the last budget cycle could have been a bit realistic, maybe a bit optimistic, but we did lower those revenue assumptions once again. I feel like the average growth was somewhere around 1% to 2% in some of the budget cycles to where instead of really trying to go after 3.5% or 4% in sales tax and property tax, you know, so the goal of the budget in my mind is it's better to aim low. And then, then you get some extra money to work with. But if you're always aiming high, you're going to get some false expectations and disappointment to where you're always talking about cuts, you know, and talking to the unions, it seems like we're always in that position to say, we just don't have enough money to do more. And, you know, the unions don't really enjoy that level of conversation to where we miss the mark all the time. So we really got to budget reasonable expectations. And
well, if the union, our union members live here and they see what's going on, I mean, they're smart. They're smart people. They see what the income is. I mean, we have a budget, Linda and I, not that we ever stick to it, but we do have a budget. So I know that X amount of dollars has to be paid for these things.
Yeah, government is strange. It's so much different than just running my own business.
Yeah.
If you can raise your prices in business if you can't pay your bills, where in government you can't just go raise property taxes and sales tax without the permission of the residents and the people live here.
But you still know, okay, I need this minimum. Now, of course, it's much harder with in the city government with inflation and all the other things. But even in our budget, I throw in, you know, a couple grand just for miscellaneous stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that's used up. And that's our slush fund to, like, you know, like when you have the overage. So, okay, we can put another $1 million into streets.
Yeah.
And you don't have that right now.
Well, yeah, we get to shore up our cash with some other options, such as selling some Stillwater land. And the goal is, yes, we could touch that money, but it's best to leave it aside and leave it in the Stillwater Fund so that way we can do some road improvements. We have a bridge to build in the future. We're going to need some of that money for matching grants in the future. But there has been some developments and some additional land sales, and that is very, very positive as we are inching closer to the finish line of selling our last property. And,
okay.
That was part of our conversation over the last year, is we did have some extra cash from the Stillwater and what to do with that. And we haven't had to really raid that fund so much. We had somebody that came from the rancheria that was really helped short the finances. There's going to be some other things that come out to where...
From the rancheria, how?
Well, the rancheria, as they're building their...
The new health village.
The new health village downtown. They came into an agreement with the city of Reading for services, which include, sewer, electricity, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And when the rancheria built that, they came into an agreement with the city of Reading to be able to give a lump sum of dollars, to help. And that was very, very helpful for us.
Wow. People need to hear that. Because that's another little star on the wonderful things that the Reading Rancheria helps with this community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in the end, we didn't just make a deal just to give away the whole world. Every deal that we always make with the rancheria has got to be a good deal for the city. It's got to be a good deal for them.
Right. Of course,
and everybody's really has to be.
They're just not handing out money.
No.
They never have.
Right. Well, we got to take a break here. We're with our mayor this morning, Mike Littell. Thanks for being with us this morning. And we're going to be covering a lot of stuff here about what's going on in the city. You're listening to Free Fire Radio on this Thursday with Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You can always hear the show back as we keep our archives at kcnrradio.com. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Get ready for a night of pure country gold. A true star and entertainer, Tracy Lawrence, is coming to the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center stage Saturday, September 5th.
Sing along to the hits that defined a generation.
Tickets start at just $55.
Time marches on.
Don't let this show pass you by.
Get your tickets today.
Must be 21 to attend.
For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN.
Grab your boots. Your adventure begins here at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Looking for quality outdoor gear while supporting a local veteran-owned business? Check out NorCal Outfitters, proudly based right here in Redding, California. Built on a passion for the outdoors and the values that make our community strong, NorCal Outfitters offers apparel and gear designed for hunters, anglers, outdoorsmen, and anyone who loves the outdoor lifestyle. And right now, we're excited to announce our partnership with Ultimate Predator Outfitters to give you a chance to win an incredible 3-day guided California hog hunt experience. Your ticket includes lodging, expert guides, and the opportunity to create memories that last a lifetime. Whether you're a seasoned hunter or looking to experience your first guided hunt, this is an opportunity you won't want to miss. Support local, support veteran owned, and enter today by purchasing your raffle tickets at ncofit.com. That's ncofit.com. NorCal Outfitters, born for the wild, born for life.
Everybody calls us a liar.
Yeah. Stay cool this summer with a new qualified AC system from Alliance. If your current AC is struggling to keep up, now is the perfect time to upgrade. With payments starting at just $114 a month, comfort may be more affordable than you think. Don't wait until the summer heat is already here. Call Alliance today at 2212-642. Again, 2212-642. Alliance Heating and Air. Everybody calls us.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300 a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Are you tired of your business insurance expenses going up and up? Surprisingly, there is some relief here in California. The workers' compensation market in California is the hottest it's been in years. Companies are offering huge discounts on some worker compensation policies, and if your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation insurance lately, you're paying too much. Siskiyou Insurance Services deals with some of the best insurance companies in California, not only for business insurance, but also workers' compensation insurance, too. Hartford, Travelers, Liberty, and more. Real estate agencies, smoking hot rates. Lawyers, some of the best rates in California. Doctor's offices and dentist offices, we have the companies. And contractors, we can write your comp, too. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services today if you want to save money on your business insurance portfolio. If your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation this year, you can by calling Siskiyou Insurance in Redding, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Welcome back this morning on Casey and Earl, please.
Wait a minute, I can sing the whole song. You know, when Linda and I were first dating, we went to a casino someplace, and it was a cover band, and they sang Looking for Love.
Yep.
And I sang the first verse, and she thought, oh, that's cute. There's a lot of people around. I sang every four.
Every
verse. It's like four, maybe and five verses.
And I can see,
he finished yet? Verse. And at the end, she was like looking around saying, is there a way to escape this man? And there wasn't.
Well, you know, when it came to the third verse, you know, and you're newly in love, it's so cute. But when somebody is so out of pitch, it's just, you're a musician. It's like, please. Anyway, Maxwell
down.
Insurance, you know, Judy Maxwell, if she's sitting here right now, she'd be giggling her head off. So Maxwell Insurance and Financial brings us this segment, helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. You can always get a second opinion on your retirement plan and 401k. Give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation. She's got a great team of people working with her. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Give them a call at 221-0441. Also, she is located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, right up there next to Members First Credit Union. You can only just pop in and they'll make it happen for you.
And I guess, I'm not even sure, is it Members First? Are they still Members First?
Yeah, it's right up there by that shoe store.
It's under Rogue Credit Union now.
They sold.
Yeah.
Well, we better change that.
Yep. Nobody knows Rogue, but they all know where Members First was.
And is it Fleet Feet or something that's right there, too?
I'm not even sure about that anymore. Hey, our guest today is Mike Littow, Mayor of Redding. We discussed, of course, the tragedy of William Tarbo passing so suddenly. And especially on for his family, wife and four children here. They've only been here since February, so it's not like, and they came from another place. It's not like they have family here or anything. So, anything any of us can do to, ease this transition, everybody is going to do that. We're talking about our finances here in the city. Oh, by the way, the efficiency report is due out in September, October that William started.
Yeah.
It will start.
Yeah, we have more work to do, and we brought on Michael Webb as our interim city manager. The directive to him has been don't lay off the gas pedal there. Just keep going forward. There's going to be some big decisions that were coming very, very soon, and the directive to him is carry the torch. Do what William has started with us. He gave us some good blueprints, and with big decisions coming.
And he trusted Mike.
Very much.
And we had Mike on the show, in fact. And he is also somebody that's very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And has a lot of energy.
Yes, Michael certainly has a desire to help lead the city, and we've known that for a very long time. But I think Michael's had that advantage for the past 8 months in this position, really you know, just learning a lot more about every department, I think that's a huge advantage just for, you know, just that
the transition.
All that work. Yeah.
Are y'all planning on doing another search?
You know, I don't know. We're going to have another meeting in 2 weeks, bring the council back together in closed session.
It's too soon, right?
The goal is really, we're going to do another check-in with Michael in closed session, and I believe we're going to do that every few weeks and see how that conversation really dialogues. In the end, I think this is a good opportunity for Michael to really press forward, and if there's big decisions that were going to be made or about to be made, make those happen. This gives him a chance to really demonstrate what kind of leader he'll be if he does get selected as city manager in the future. So I think our eyes are on him and watching him, but certainly we are very, very supportive of him, and
like I said, he was very knowledgeable, a lot of energy, a likable guy. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Civic. Your decision for $17,000, I think, a month to keep it secure, lights on, all of that stuff. I think most people will agree that was the right decision.
Well, of course. And, you know, some of my comments said, you know, part of that budget is for fencing, and I just have concerns about the looks and the optics of putting up temporary fencing around the Civic Center. It certainly identified this is not going to be around the entire Civic Center. It's just really blocking some key entrances.
Sure.
But still the optics of, I think it's not just an eyesore, but it can actually attract more crime because having some fencing sends a message that your building is empty. And so the fencing is not going up right away. We've at least been able to pause that through August and possibly September, circle back with city staff and see report back to us what kind of crime, what are we seeing over the next 2 months, and is there really going to be need to put up that fencing? And perhaps maybe that would be a mute conversation later, because if we do get another operator with a very optimistic goal of someone coming in by October or November, maybe we won't need that fencing. But it is optimistic. If you asked me 2 months ago, I really would have felt like I would have been surprised to see one person come forward and saying, hey, I want to operate the Civic Center at a potential loss.
In fact, I think I saw you say that the other day.
Yeah, but behind the scenes.
You think there could be someone.
We've heard from at least five groups of very interested people that have been very adamant that says that as soon as the RFP comes out, which is the request for a proposal, and their opportunity to really respond and say, I want to run the Civic Center, these groups have said they plan to apply the very first day. So that's good.
The conventional wisdom said that there's a lot of problems down there that may not ever see that, but if you're already getting nibbles.
Yeah, and your best outcome says maybe we'll get someone that wants to come in and operate that asks the city for no subsidy or, you know, I think there's certainly a lot of value to put some subsidy into the Civic Center if you're thinking about economic growth and growing tourism. But, you know,
I agree.
I just don't want to throw money into a Civic Center that says we're going to be subsidizing concerts. But if there's a way to where we can add convention center space, we can develop the riverfront, and we can use that TOT tax to make the riverfront itself and the civic operations just something that's just going to help grow revenue in the city, you know, why not? But we're not there yet, but that's a conversation for another day.
Well, most civic centers, auditoriums, aren't they subsidized by their cities they're in?
They are. If you go back 20 years, the Civic used to be subsidized by the hotel and TOT tax.
The city used to spend like $1 million a year on the Civic.
Sure. So as the budget gets shored up and our finances get in a better position, we can have these conversations about the riverfront and going back to identifying how we can give a portion of our hotel tax and TOT tax. And rightfully so, when you bring in that revenue and tax from hotels, you're supposed to reinvest that into your own city. I mean, that's the intent of TOT taxes, not just to shore up your general fund and be able to pay for things, but you really do have to think about economic development of how can we make the city better and how can we improve the civic
center. Do you envision a time where maybe the civic auditorium and its footprint, just the footprint of the civic, would be up for sale?
Perhaps. You know, I think everybody should always be open-minded to any potential option, but I've seen renderings of the riverfront and the Civic Center, the renderings of a potential new rodeo grounds. When you see the visuals, it gets you really excited to actually see the outcome. And it reminds me a lot of the downtown here. Nobody really knew what that could look like when we had this ugly parking garage and aging buildings. And, you know, if you tried to describe what the downtown could potentially look like, which is still in its infant stage right now, you know, you really couldn't understand until you see the pictures. Now that I've seen the pictures and the renderings, I'm like, geez, like, how is this ever going to happen? You know, that was one of my questions in a meeting, you know, about 3-4 weeks ago, is could this really even happen? This looks really, really good. And they said, yes, with private development and investment, there are groups out there that are looking to do stuff like this. And I think that's good for the rodeo. I think that's good for Civic. And
you say new rodeo grounds in the same area, though, right?
I think the renderings have the rodeo grounds in the same area or a modified area, but I've seen some really cool pictures where it shows attached to the Civic Center itself, and it seems to, patio, some walkways. It looks like like an entertainment district, you know, with the renderings that you see there. And when you think about, you know, building maybe possibly another hotel, rooftop bars, restaurants, there is so much opportunity to develop those grounds right there.
We need to develop the riverfront.
It looks like an ugly parking lot, you know.
I mean, right now we've got one restaurant, and yes. It's not even on the river. It's above the river.
Yes.
And not to destroy the beauty of the Sacramento River, but to enhance it, but also to make this more of a destination city.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be able to envision this stuff.
You have to be able to have the vision. So.
We're here with Mike Littow, who is our mayor of Reading, and we're talking about the Civic Auditorium and good news that it looks like when we put out the request for proposals, there's going to be some people wanting to come in. And that's always good news. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, across the parking lot from the old Lucky Miller's, or Subway, if that's what you remember. Founded in 1960, been in the same location since 1967. I found them in 2007 when I moved to Reading. Never gone to another barbershop. I love these guys. I've gone to some barbers. They've retired. But it's a barbershop, not a hair salon. You get a great haircut, you know, watching golf on TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all that kind of stuff. You can make an appointment that it works on your schedule, which I really like, by calling them at 530-244-9478 or using Booksy in Reading at Cypress Square Barbershop. Set up your time that way. Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. Every haircut, made in America. And we'll be right back.
It's time to saddle up and ride west. Wind River Resort and Casino is proud to bring Wyoming's own Ian Munsick to the Event Center stage. Friday, July 24th. Rising fast and bringing his signature sound, Ian brings the west to the rest. Tickets are just $60 plus fees. But they won't last long, so don't wait.
Must be 21 to attend.
Make it a country night to remember.
Call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN to reserve your room and grab your ticket.
Dust off those boots.
Your adventure begins here at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Do you believe in voter ID? Supporting the legal defense for Measure B. Come join us for a great fundraising dinner and live auction Friday, July 24th at the Anderson VFW. If you believe the people, not bureaucrats, should control our elections, please consider supporting this event. Join us for a barbecue dinner with all the fixins Friday, July 24th, Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. Doors open at 4, and for tickets, see Jones's Fort or call 530-209-2435. Supporting the legal defense for Measure B.
At the friendliest store in town, you'll find Kent's Meat and Grocery specializes in great personal service and the freshest choices of quality meats, poultry, and seafood. Featuring California-grown Old Stage Angus Natural Prime Ranch to Table Certified Beef, fresh produce, a full line of beverages, including their large selection of beers and seltzers, and of course, Cappy's Deli for sandwiches, salads, pizza, party trays, and side dishes to complete any meal. All made fresh daily. Kent's Meats and Groceries in Cappy's Deli, 1 mile south of the Reading Airport on Airport Road. Open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Welcome back. Yeah, we're working for the weekend. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Streaming worldwide at kcnrradio.com. And our guest today, Mike Littow, mayor of Reading. We're talking Riverfront. When is the plan coming out?
December, and I did have
December.
I had concerns saying, why is this going to come out to December? Potentially we'll have a new city council. I mean, elections are November.
Yeah.
Three seats are open, and we're getting to the finish line in December. Is December really the right time to say, I don't think we'll have three new council members, but potentially you could have three new council members that get to make the final decision on the Riverfront. And I would prefer that gets to us either in late November or a special meeting in December, potentially, to make sure we get that to the finish line and you let this council that has had a voice
just,
over the
why
past
Why don't you just tell them, hey, we want it in January.
The referendum in January?
Yeah. That way you've got your council seated. That way you don't have to have – there could be some if you've got lame ducks making decisions and people aren't – I would think that the council would just say, hey, we're going to let the new council
– right.
Because we're not going to please a lot of people here, or we're going to please a lot of people, whatever it is, letting the new council do it.
Yeah.
Or have it so early, and you're not going to get it early, probably. So
no.
I think delaying it till January.
No, I don't think the timeline allows it to come even before November. There's
things
that have to be done with environmental reviews and other studies that have to get
done. Are we getting our $1.5 million worth?
Are we? Well, you're spending a lot of money, and you have, at the end of the day, you have to decide, is this a pipe dream of development that's just never going to happen? Because, again, what the Riverfront is doing is, setting the stage for, what the use can be for each parcel out there. And, again, nothing can happen without private investment. You still have to have a developer that wants to come forward and says, yes, I want to do something on that parcel, or I'd like to do something on the rodeo grounds over here, or I'd like to do expansion of the Civic and run the Civic. Everything starts with ideas, but it still takes cash and money. And without money, none of this is
ever happen. It's going to be private equity in this.
Yes.
And so the question is, are we as a community going to say, with enough codicils into the contracts, that we have, we have a say on things that are happening? You can't just come in here and raise, knock down the Civic and then build a new one, which better and bigger and all that serves our community better, but we've also got to have a final say on things going on. But they're not going to do it on a lease.
No, but in the end, if all we get out of the Riverfront during our years here is improvements to the trails. We do have the Turtle Bay Bridge. We have some good trails, but we have some missing links out there with trails that still really could be built and expanded that can give some good connecting points. And when you expand the riverfront and give some good walking areas and some areas where we can enjoy the waterfront, where they bring canoes, kayaks out, or some better docks out there to launch boats.
But doesn't it all come down, Mike, to priorities?
Yeah.
And, I mean, what's the number one priority of city government? I mean, I'm asking. Well, I mean, I think I know what it is. But.
I mean, our main responsibility is to take care of our infrastructure, our roads, public works, RU with utilities, the police with public safety, the fire. Beyond that, you know, we're not really good about making the fun happen.
Yeah.
We're not a business. When government people don't really have that marketing side to envision there. It takes a lot of community support to really come forward with some ideas.
Public safety and infrastructure. Yeah. That's the bottom line on it. And trails are nice.
Yeah.
Parks are nice. Public safety, infrastructure.
Yeah.
I guess you could say trails or infrastructure, but I don't think of it that way.
Mayor, the city council meets the first and third Tuesday of every month.
Uh-huh.
Have the meetings become more civil, or are we still having these sit-ins and people being... What's your experience been like?
I think the tone has been good over the past 8 months. We're not making the news as much, but I think you found... You know, last summer was very, very messy, and sometimes there has to be a lot of, you know, insults and some, I hate to call it name calling, but it's tough to say, have difficult conversations and, with difficult words right there to expose problems right there. And in the end, I think we're all pretty united. We all want the same things right now. We want to be fiscally sound. We want a balanced budget. We want to be able to, increase our revenues. We are aligned that way, and the council still has its moments of disagreements, but it is good to disagree. You don't want a council that's always just in unison and thinking the same thing. We have to find ways to disagree, but to do civilly as well, and that's really important to me, is to make sure that these conversations are happening to show that we can, we don't have to have messy fights, you know, and I think the... What I didn't like about last summer necessarily was when the family sees mom and dad fighting, it gets hard, and kids start picking sides. And because it's difficult to see mom and dad fighting, the family is breaking up a little bit. And you want to see mom and dad have good discussion and good debate. And it makes your residents of the city feel more comfortable when they see this.
You want to see mom and dad hugging.
No.
You don't want to see mom and dad in front of each other.
No, but people are picking sides through this messiness, and that wasn't good, for the city, really, as we're just trying to work together and, you know, solve some problems and make this place a really, really enjoyable place to live.
Well, Redding is a wonderful place to live,
mm-hmm.
and we've been getting nationwide nastiness at us, mainly because of the county, not the city. You all have gone through some things, but you don't hit the papers and the skyline like the county has. Well, now the county looks like it's going to change its... You know, it swung one way, and now it's swinging another way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe closer to the middle, who knows. But I think that the Board of Supervisors is going to change. Now, the City Council, you have, Tanessa is running again, and Jack is running again. Mm-hmm. But there's, two others at least that are running?
There's a total of six names I've seen.
Oh, six so names far. Now. Okay. I've got to get all the names. I think I've got most of them. Mm-hmm. So we can cycle them through here, of course, our incumbents, but all the new people too.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. So you got six people running for, three spots?
Six. And there might be a few more. The deadline's still got two more weeks.
Well, it's Tanessa, Jack, and...
I've seen Russ, Christina.
But there's three. You said there's three spots.
There's
the
three seats open. Yes.
So it's Tanessa, Russ, or Jack. I should say.
Tanessa and Jack are running again, and Erin is not running again.
Right.
She won
okay,
her seat
but that's
the
third spot there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting.
Well, it's going to come faster than you know, right?
Oh yeah, it's right here.
Elections are what, 3 months away?
Three months away. Well, let's take an early break. We're just a minute or two early. And we're with Mike Littow, Mayor of Redding, a member of the City Council, and we'll be right back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join us Friday, July 24th for Turtle Bay's 21-plus event, Museum After Hours, featuring the summer exhibition hit, Popnology, packed with tech from the past, present, and future. Museum After Hours includes live music, a food and cash bar by Mosaic Restaurant, and plenty of things to see and do throughout the museum without the kids. Celebrate with the pop star signature cocktail, only at Museum After Hours, Friday, July 24th. Buy tickets at the door or online at turtlebay.org.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Myers. I'm the president and CEO of Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support and partnership over the years.
Hi, I'm Heather Kellenhofer, president of NorCal Breast Cancer Connection, continuing the legacy of NorCal Think Pink. We would like to express our sincere gratitude to Redding Rancheria for all the support over the years.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at premieroilchange.com and receive your gift. In Redding, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisadro locations.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
At Redding Heating and Air, we don't just promise fast service. We put our money where our mouth is. How does $500 in cold, hard cash sound?
Whoa, 500 bucks? Kelvin, are we serious?
Dead serious, young fella. If we don't have your new system installed within 72 hours of booking, we'll pay you $500 cash. You know, back in my day...
72 hours? Kelvin, can you even move that fast?
Anyway... That's the old-fashioned way of doing things, Chili. We respect a neighbor's time. We show up when we say we will, and we hustle until the job is done right.
It pays to use Redding Heating and Air. Restrictions apply. Visit reddingheatingair.com to schedule your 72-hour install today.
Don't wait. Let's get to work.
Redding Heating and Air. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in our, for our last segment. We're going to finish strong here. We're with Mike, with Mike Vitale, our mayor. We've talked about the riverfront plan. It looks like it's coming in toward December. And the question is, do we want to wait until the new city council, which will be seated in January, you want to throw it in their laps as opposed to ones that may not be here? Mm-hmm. You know, you could have, we have three openings, six people running. I mean, theoretically, you could have three new people in there.
It could be, but at the end of the day, when you look at it, would this be really contentious meeting on the final product, right? We've had meetings for the past 2 years, even before my time on the council.
Oh, yeah, it'll be contentious.
And it could be, but...
Oh, no, I'm going to be down there stirring. I'm going to be stirring the pot.
But we've seen how this has developed. There are not going to be any surprises that are going to come this way in December and January. We've had numerous meetings behind the scenes.
Are the renderings
yes.
of everything, are those open to everybody? Can I look at them?
That's a good question. Can we release those? I'm hoping at State of the City we can get some of these renderings out.
Oh, good.
I'm hoping so. Good. So maybe they can't come out just yet, but if I can get them leaked to the public.
And remind us again, State of the City will be this year at the Holiday Inn on what day?
September 22nd.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So then you could show some of the renderings at that point.
I sure hope so.
Okay. And then at that point, then they're open to the public to take a look at before the big... report comes in.
I would imagine that will be...
That's what I think people would like to take a look at and say, what does this look like? You know, you talk about it, but it's hard to, you know, for most people to envision a project this big.
Yeah, I think we should get these renderings out just because this has been, you try to make this the most transparent process and to inform the public. We've had community meetings, we've brought groups in, we've brought council in, we've brought staff in, and so you don't want all this to be secretive. This should be very, very transparent.
Yeah, if you remember how it started, it was such a brouhaha the way it started. And then it was contentious through that. So now the study's come through people. The meetings have been open to everybody, numerous meetings. So if somebody says, well, nobody told me that, well, that could be, but you had the opportunity to go to meetings on these things.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's a big thing coming down.
Yeah.
And see. Will you be mayor? No, you will have handed that off probably at that point.
Yeah, I should get to rotate off. And
who's in the line next?
Well, if you follow the historical ways, and hasn't really been kind of historical like the last 5 years, but Dr. DeNuca, who's vice mayor right now, would be in line for that. And so if you had a natural transition, he would be naturally.
He would be, but you never can tell what's going to happen, especially if there's new people on the board. We have an interim police chief.
We have an interim police chief starting first week of August. He's coming, and right now our captains right now have been rotating as the interim.
What about the what length of time is he here for? 90 days?
Up to a certain amount of hours. I think
so many hours.
Like at 980 or 960 hours. However, we may not use all those hours. It just really depends on the timing of the hiring of the police chief and certainly when the police chief can pass background checks and actually start, because you may hire a police chief that has to have time to be able to give notice to the city or
if he's from another area coming in.
And then, of course, take the time to be able to move here as well. So the start date is very open-ended.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we expect to have someone hired by September or October and in place.
And if you didn't hear the first part, of course, after this tragic passing of William Tarbo, the assistant city manager is fleeted up right now and is moving along with Tarbo's plans.
Yes.
Tarbo had laid out a blueprint.
We are not slowing down. The directive to Michael Webb has been to continue the mission, follow the blueprints. With any pending difficult decisions that could have been coming, we fully expect that we're going to execute the plan and continue forward. And this is not just a moment where Michael just fills in the shoes of William and just holds everything together.
We want him to be moving forward.
We want very proactive.
Keep the momentum going. We've got a huge thing coming called the Iron Man. And you're hearing it first here.
Oh boy.
Mike Littell, the mayor, is on a team participating in the Ironman. He's going to run the 13.1 mile or something like that.
Yes. Yes.
By himself.
Yes.
Out there in 107 degree temperature.
Yes.
He's representing our city.
Yes. Absolutely.
Of the three-person team.
I think this is a great way to be able to promote the city of Reading to...
I'm going to be on an aid station if for no other reason. I want to be there at about the 10th mile as you come wandering through, because I've done these before.
Well,
and your whole face changes.
I fully expect to take first place in my height and weight category.
I think that's great. Now, this is huge for us.
Yes.
And this is the first one of a 3-year contract.
Yes. This is big time. And there are rumors that the next Ironman will move up to May. We'll have to see the timing of that.
That would be better.
This has been discussed to bring potentially $10 to $12 million in economic benefits here. We already have athletes that are already here training.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Up to 1,500 athletes moving into the area.
And their support teams.
Yes. We've talked to restaurants saying, you'll want to consider opening up your restaurant at 3 in the morning on race day. But certainly during the whole week, with about 1,500 athletes and up to 10,000 people that are coming through the city of Reading, these restaurants really need to consider staying open later, having more food available. But
maybe even a different, beefing up their carbs and things like that.
Yeah.
Having that pancake breakfast.
There's going to be a
lot
of spaghetti
the night before.
There's going to be a lot of activities going on.
But we need our community. One, let's make it a mini FIFA. Where, when people came in from FIFA, all from all over the world, they met the Americans, how friendly we are, how open. as these people come in, we need to do that too. Be ourselves and be friendly to these people. Be open and be supportive.
We need more volunteers right now.
Okay.
I was going to ask you. If you would have an interest just to get involved in to give an hour or 2 hours, you can be an ambassador for the city here. But I believe we needed up to like 2,000 people to volunteer, and the number I heard about a week ago said we're still looking for 800 to 900, hours or people, cheerleaders, people that can just hand out water, people that help in aid
stations. Yeah, the aid stations are big things. Yeah. They're giving water as people are going by. Right. And as soon as you're finished, you clean up and you're finished.
Yeah.
Right there. Yes. So,
what are the dates again?
It's the 16th. Shoot, is it the 16th or 17th?
No, 16th. It's 16th a Sunday. It starts at 6:15 in the morning at Whiskey Town. They come out of Whiskey Town, get on their bikes, and come into town. And I think they go out towards
Jones Valley area.
Jones Valley area. Yeah. And they do the transition at the Civic Auditorium.
Correct. It's right around the corner.
From their bikes to the run.
Yes.
And they finish up at the Civic. Do they finish?
We do finish at the Civic.
At the Civic, right.
The running course is 2 laps, and they pick the most shaded area possible. Think about
it's 107. The average temperature for that day is over 100.
If you're a good athlete, you're going to beat the heat because I'm looking at the time. I might have to start running depending on how fast my team can get there. But I would rather start running at 9:30 in the morning than 10:30 in the morning because that extra 1 hour difference will make us – A big difference with that sun.
You know what? I want to work the transition area only because I want to see Mike start out, and then I'll even hang around to see Mike finish.
I plan to.
This is huge, and thank you for doing this, Mike. Yeah. I mean, you're not like 20 years old and 130 pounds.
No.
But you got that army can-do attitude.
You know what? We're going to make this happen.
But this is really big for us because we got a 3-year contract, and if they really like it. And this brings in needed tax dollars, needed TOT into our community.
Yes.
And then there's this big fly fishing. This big in September. September fly fishing.
Going back to the Ironman, we need to realize that before we know it, that's just around the corner, and we need to look at how transportation. So if you're downtown and things are blocked off and. How we get around. A lot of people, I just don't even think it's got to. Should be on the paper. It should be on the paper.
Yeah. It should be showing
online.
The route.
It should be all over the place about what's going to happen here and how we get what we need to look out for. Because if I go up to the doggy park and ask anybody to know about the Ironman, they're going to look at me like they have not heard about it, don't know anything about it.
There are mailers that are going to go to everybody in Reading, I hear.
Okay.
What did hit the paper was kind of this analogy. If you do not plan on participating in the Ironman or volunteering, you might want to consider sleeping in that day.
Yeah.
And
because there's going to be streets blocked and there's all kinds. This is, we've never had like a road race, whether it's people or bikes or whatever, in this town like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in races that had more than this in it.
Well, this is a pro event, too.
Yeah, and it's a pro event, and it's on their schedule. But I've been in these, and where they just shut down everything. They're shutting down main streets and everything so we could either run or bike our way through there.
Yeah.
And Hawaii and other places. And this is something that, knowing the route, so I'm sure that's going to go out to people. So on that day, you're right. If you're not involved in it, if you're planning on going to, French Gulch that morning, may want to rethink that.
You will want to rethink that because that corridor will be closed.
Yeah.
When you're coming from Whiskeytown, the highway will be closed. Now, I thought maybe they would keep one lane open to one lane traffic, but it sounds like to me, I think both lanes are going to be completely shut down.
Now, they should be past that by probably 7:30 or 8.
So, Weaverville people.
So the race starts at 6 in the morning.
Right.
And you get just over an hour to be able to get the swimming portion. So in that transition, the last swimmer should be out of the water by 7:30.
Yeah.
And as the bikers make their way up towards Reading, you would think.
And it's not that far.
You would think by 8 a.m., 8:30 in the morning, the road should start opening up.
Yeah. And Are we on the hook for a lot of money for this thing?
No, very little. So a lot of the investment has come from, you know, Visit Reading and, you know, the tourism groups there. Our portion of the city of Reading, I think we needed to commit something along the lines of $50,000 or $75,000 for this year. However, with the economic boom, what we expect to come back from the TOT tax and the sales tax is there's going to be about $10 to $12 million in spending that's going to happen within our city. We don't see that return right away, but we will get a return on our investment and hopefully more.
We've got to have our police there. The road's got to be blocked off, you know, all those kind of things.
Yes.
Think of this as the as a rodeo parade times 10.
Yeah. Yes.
For blocking off things.
Yes.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Yeah,
this, we
got
to do this on a regular basis because there's so many changes, so many things coming. It's good to hear from the mayor who's, you seem like you've got it all under control here.
Well,
I mean that in a good sense.
Yeah, you know, it's hard work, but you know, there's a lot of people out there doing, you know, the hard work with us, and it's a big job.
It's a team, and well, you know, you're getting all that big bucks too.
Oh, man. So. Oh yeah.
What is it up to? $500?
$600 a month.
$600 a month. You know, I laugh at that. You know, I'm not for giving, you know, raises to, you know, in government.
Yeah.
I'm really kind of.
Yeah.
But I think our city council ought to be making more than $600 a month, frankly.
It's a good conversation for another day, but the argument can be made is, unless if you're retired, you can do this, but if you really have full-time work, is it really fair for that? How can that person make a living being involved in meetings 20 hours a week?
And, yeah, you've got a business here, and, you know, you've got a team, thank God, but, you know, still.
Yeah, you've got to allow that middleman that can still step up to serve and, you know, be able to still help pay their bills and honor their time.
Hey, tomorrow, we've got to run here, and tomorrow we're going to have Stand Down, and who did I say was going to be on tomorrow, too? I can't remember. Just go to our website, and kcnrradio.com, and it tells you who our guest is. And everybody, it's going to be warm today, but not overbearingly warm. It's only going to be like 98, but hydrate, 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 and God bless America.
Yeah. Stand my ground. Won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.